These parents who are dedicating their children here today are committing themselves to lead their children at an early age to know Jesus, committing themselves to raising them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we as a body of believers around them are committing ourselves to stand with them. We're not a substitute for parents in the role that they have. We, the church, and the staff here, and the pastoral staff, we're not a substitute for the parents. We come alongside. We undergird. We support what God is doing here. And you all here today have heard what God has been saying about these children. Keep those things in your mind, because you're going to watch them growing up. You're going to have conversations with them. You're going to be eating with them. You're going to be teaching them downstairs. You're going to see them up here leading worship and doing things in years to come that will be the fulfillment of what you've heard here today. So we are committing ourselves to them. So first, I'd like the rest of the congregation to stand. I'm going to ask you a question. This is much like we hear at a wedding. Your response is, we will. Okay? Will you of our Father's house purpose before God, these parents, and these children, that as God supplies grace and opportunity, you will endeavor to demonstrate to these parents and children a lifestyle of encouragement and an example in the Christian faith? We will. That's right. Parents, your response is, we do, to these questions. In the sight of God and in the presence of these witnesses, do you solemnly undertake to bring up your child in the fear and admonition of the Lord? We do? Okay. Do you promise to seek to lead your child early in their life to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Do you promise, as far as it lies within you, that with God's help and grace, you will set before your child examples of consistent godly living? All right. We're going to bless all these children right now. Lord, we thank you for these newest, youngest members here in our Father's house. Lord, we thank you for these families, Lord. Lord, we know that without your help, Lord Jesus, this is such a struggle, Lord. But Father, we thank you for the grace that you've apportioned for each one of them. We thank you for this household, this body of believers, Lord, that see these children as part of our members here, Lord, part of our family, Lord. Lord, give us wisdom and insight as we pour into them. And Lord, the things that we've heard today that you've released about them, Lord Jesus, let us partner with you in what you're doing, Lord. Let us align with your call for their lives, Lord, so that we can build them up, we can strengthen them, Lord, and we can stand with these parents, Lord, as they are raising these children. We thank you, Father. We bless them right now. We dedicate them to you, Lord Jesus. We set them aside. We set them apart, Lord Jesus. We ask for your covering or protection over them, Lord Jesus, that they would not stray from you, Lord, but they would run fast and hard towards you. We thank you, Father, for your great love for them, and we bless them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to start doing baby dedications this way. Yay. Yay. Was that Jimmy? You wanted to be dedicated again? Praise God. It's been our tradition to do this on Sanctity of Life Sunday, and we're going to continue to do that in the future, but that's not going to be the only time that we do this. We're going to be looking to see more dedications because God keeps sending us children. A full third of our congregation is children. That is a huge blessing. That is a huge blessing. And we're going to honor the Lord for the children that He's sending to us because these are His people, and we have the responsibility of raising them up, helping them grow to maturity, and stewarding what the Lord has with them. So we're going to keep doing this. If we're going to do this for 10 kids, this could take a lot. It could take a whole day, right? But as the Lord's sending them to us, we want to be dedicating them because we want to be honoring what the Lord is doing, what He's saying, what He's speaking in them. Oh, it's exciting. Thank you to our prophetic ministry for coming forward and doing that. What a blessing. You know, if you look back through Scripture, the concept of God declaring somebody's destiny at or before their time of birth is very well established. You look at someone like Samuel, you look at Samson, you look at Jesus, you look at John the Baptist, you look at others, and that's in the Old Covenant. We're walking in a new covenant now, and God is speaking about our children. Wasn't that wonderful to hear that, those things? Lord, thank you for those words. As detailed as he was here with them, he has plans and purposes for each and every single one of us. So why Jimmy says, I want to get dedicated again. I'll tell you this. We have a wonderful prophetic ministry here. The Lord has been sowing into that for several decades. We're continuing to pursue him in that gifting and in that grace. And we've got roughly 30 people that are part of our prophetic ministry, and God is unfolding new ways that he wants to use that in and among us, out in our community, in the world. It's very exciting. If you need a prophetic appointment, you can contact the church. You'll get it connected with our prophetic ministry, and you can have time where you can sit, Jimmy, and you can hear, what is it the Lord's saying about me? And what's wonderful about that is you should hear confirmation of things that God has been speaking to you about you for a long time. Things that you might not have heard or might not have believed, but he's welcoming you and he's beckoning you to that. He's confirming things to you because God speaks to each and every single one of us. Like Brian says, you've got a lot of voices that are going on inside your head. A lot of times until you're trained, you don't know that you're already hearing God speaking to you. That's why we want to get you into that class so that you can know, I do hear God. He is speaking to me. So, let's put the vision statement back up there. We want to see people launch into their destiny. God has a destiny for each and every single one of us. And it's not something that you're generating out of your own will. You can go and pursue that, but it's going to fall far short of what God truly has for each and every single one of us, because our destiny from God's intent is to be found in him. Our destiny is in Christ. And he's calling us to that. We all have a purpose and a calling in him. I'm going to read to you from Ephesians chapter 4. You can follow along in your Bible, on your cell phone, or whatever it is that you use to get into the scripture, because we're not going to put it up this morning. We're going to keep the vision statement up there. We really want this to become part of what we know, part of our language. I'm going to keep it before you today. So Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. And this is Paul. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. God has something particular for each one of us, and our destiny is in him, to be the one that he has designed us to be. If you don't know Jesus, you're not left out of this. He has a destiny that he's calling you to. He wants you to have fullness in him. He wants you to have true life in him. He wants you to say, I'm laying this down, Lord. You've already paid the price for my sins, and I get to come into new life in you. I get to pursue you and go do the things that you've called me to do. And it looks different for each one of us. There's some general discipleship that we all get, but then there's particular discipleship to what God has called you into. The ministry that He has for you might not yet exist anywhere other than the mind of God right now. I want that to sink in a little bit. It might not yet exist anywhere other than the mind of God right now. And your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to go with Him and do impossible things. Impossible things. We here at our Father's house want to see people launched into their destiny. What does that mean? Launched. What is it He's called you to? What's the calling that you've received? Have you heard it yet? Do you know what it is? What are you being launched into? It's going to be particular for you. But here he's already been equipping us with the prophetic ministry. He's already been equipping us with how to hear God's voice. He's already been equipping us with ministries that set you free, like TPM, so that you can get past the clutter of the lies the enemy would speak to you to keep you from running towards what God has for you. Lies are meant to keep you in fear and keep you bound up so that you never do what God has called you to do. Your destiny and your destination is already secured. You're going to heaven. But how effective are you going to be here while you're still on earth? He wants to tie your shoelaces together as much as possible. God wants to set you free. He wants you to be free to run in Him. So here, what we want to do is help you get free, see a hurting world healed. We also want to see you launch into your destiny. For us, that means we take a humble position as we minister to others. If you're going to launch somebody, you get to be a launch pad. You get to be that support, that undergirding, that stable platform that people can be built upon. It means that we don't say that you are ours and you're going to be here forever. We recognize that God may deploy you to the other side of the earth. He also may deploy you right here in the middle of this church. He's probably going to deploy you out into the community, at least for some portion of your time here. But He is going to deploy you. He is going to launch you. We don't own you. We get to be part of what God's doing together. We're all part of the body of Christ. But while you're here, we get to equip you. Each rocket's going to look a little bit different, right? They all have a little bit of a different purpose. Some have different fins, some have different thrusters, some have different load-bearing capacities, some are faster than others. They have different things that they're seeking, different destinations. And God is capable of telling us and telling you what it is that He has planned for you. We get to help equip you with that. There's care that's taken in that. There's relationship that's taken in that. There's intentionality that's part of that. We want to see that happen. Now, I say people, there's individual human beings that we're talking about like that, right? But when I say corporately, there's a big picture here too. What is it that God has called our Father's house to be? We have a destiny as a people that God is calling us towards. We get to steward that. I've shared some of that in this last message. We get to steward that together. We want to see us launch towards what God has for us. It's probably bigger than what you're thinking right now, because God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So He wants us to dream with Him, and He doesn't have limits. What is it He wants to see this place become? Us as a people become? What is it that He wants to see our region become? I shared a little bit over the past couple weeks about what God was doing when He was initiating the Maryland colony, which for all intents and purposes is St. Mary's County back almost 400 years ago. God was doing some incredible spiritual things by what He was initiating here in St. Mary's County from a global perspective. That's been buried under history for a long time, but God has something that he's doing there. And God's narrative never ends with, well, that was 50 years, guess that's done and over with. God's always thinking about things multi-generationally. He's thinking about it from the big picture, from eternity beginning to eternity ending. And he's doing something. We get to partner with what he's doing to see our people here launched into their destiny. There's great responsibility that sits in this county here. And we, as God's people, not only us, but God's people, his church is spread out around this county. Not just this county, we've got Calvert County, but this region. His church in Southern Maryland is his body of Christ here. We should be encouraging the body of Christ in Southern Maryland towards what God is launching us towards. Because we're the gatekeepers spiritually of what comes into this place. We should be seeing the church down the street fulfilling their destiny. That should be part of what we care about. Your Christian brothers and sisters that are in your workplaces with you, you should be caring about what God is doing in them, that they become all that he has called them to be. We want to see them launch into their destiny. God has sent us internationally into places through the relationships that we have there. When we go there, we're not going to superimpose the way we do church onto these other places. We don't come trying to make a cookie-cutter scenario in Ukraine or in Cuba or in the Philippines. We come sharing what we have, and we undergird what God is doing there, because we want to see them launched into the destiny and the call that they have in that place, just like we are called to something here. I'm getting excited about what God's doing with this, because he is going to unlock some huge things as we come. We recognize that. We are here to help see people fulfill their destiny. It comes from a place of humility, like I said before. I'll read from Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. When we train our prophetic ministry, we train them with a concept we call the towel and the basin. And it's the concept of how Christ ministered to his disciples. He humbled himself with the towel and the basin, not lording himself over them, but coming to wash their feet. When we deliver prophetic words, we're there to wash the feet of whoever it is before us. We're not to regard anybody by the way they look, by their stature, right? Samuel got to call out David, who is the least of the brothers, but God saw his heart. So as we're ministering, we come with the towel and the basin. You never know who it is that you're standing in front of. And I would tell you, too, don't regard yourself by what your own stature is also. Jesus was a carpenter. He didn't come as the reigning king into the temple. He came as a carpenter. And he called with him fishermen, tax collectors, others. And he started something that has changed the world. God released and revealed himself through those people. Well, what if your stature is high? What if you're worth $1 million? Does that exclude you from this? Absolutely not. God is here for you, and he has something direct for who you are and what you've been called to. But where does it be humble in how we minister to one another, how we support one another, how we provide grace for one another, how we demonstrate reconciliation and forgiveness? Because God is doing great things. I'm going to share a quick story. I probably shared part of it before here. Why is this part of what's in my heart and what we're carrying forward? Back in 2003, first of all, I grew up in a church, a Spirit-filled church out in California. a place called Shiloh Church. It's in Oakland. And we had the prophetic there. We had healing. And we'd have ministries come through, and you'd have the one prophet, and he would prophesy to everybody, and you'd have the one healer and heal everybody. And I grew up with that as part of my own corporate experience and understanding. In 2003, after I'd spent some time wandering in life, I went to college, and I'd gone through some significant hurts before that. I wandered away from the Lord. And in 2003, Randy Miller Ministries came to the church that I went to. And, sorry, Randy Clark. Randy Miller is a good friend of ours. Another minister here in this region. Randy Clark Ministries, I'm sorry. Randy Clark came to our church. And if you don't know Randy Clark, he has a wonderful healing ministry. And it was the first time I had encountered somebody who had a beautiful, vibrant healing ministry, who most of the stuff happened through people that he brought along with him. And he shared testimonies of bringing just general folk with him into different areas and God doing dramatic healing and miracles through them. And I'd never seen anything like this before. And I remember thinking, if God's willing to do that through them, what would he be willing to do through me? And there was a multi-night meetings that were going on in the church there, and God rocked my world, rocked our world in that, and he called me back to him. And part of what I've been carrying with me since then is that understanding that he has something that's dramatic for each and every single one of us, if we're ready and willing to just say yes, Lord, and keep coming after him. Katie and I were talking recently about Peter walking on the water. And I don't know about you, but normally when I think about it, I think about, okay, well, he sank in the water because he took his eyes off Jesus and he got, you know, fearful of the wind and the waves and all of that. And Jesus had to, you know, reach down through the water and pull him back up. There's this beautiful, you know, paintings of the underwater view of Jesus reaching down with his feet standing on the water, right? Beautiful, beautiful views. Thank you, young man. Appreciate that. He's being trained as a servant, and he's doing very well. He has a wonderful servant's heart and great grace for those that are around him. I know lots of boys that are looking up to that young man. Good job, Mama. Doing very well. And all those that are supporting that, too. Katie said to me, what happens when we keep our eyes on Jesus? And I said, well, we don't get scared of all the stuff and we don't, you know, sink and everything. She said, we do impossible things when we keep our eyes on Jesus. I'd never thought about it that way. God calls us to the impossible. Jesus is walking on the water. He's master over all creation. He breaks the laws of nature because he wrote the laws of nature. He gets to walk across the top of the water and he says, come follow me. That's impossible. But he kept his eyes on Jesus and he did exactly what Jesus was telling him to do, beckoning him to. It was only when he took his eyes off that the impossible stopped happening for him. God calls us to impossible things. Peter was the only one who stepped out of the boat. But it may have been that he was the only one that was supposed to happen for. His friends helped him out of the boat, into the water. God may be calling you to something that seems absolutely impossible to everyone else around you. But if you follow Jesus, he will do impossible things, and it sets a whole new bar for what God can do. We want to see you launched into the destiny that Jesus has for you. We want you to be able to believe that he could do impossible things through you. We want to encourage you to know that he does have something that is great for you. I don't care what your past has been. I don't care what the past 30 days have been like for you. God has something impossible for that he wants to do through you. And it's only going to happen while you keep your eyes on him. He wants to set you free. He He wants to draw you into that, and we want to be behind what that is. Prophetic happens in the church, right? We just saw it here today. But it's also meant for the marketplace. We don't only get to deliver a word to somebody, but God prophetically moves to shape businesses, communities, to shape government, to shape all sorts of things, any manner that we will allow him into. He wants to prophetically move into that. Healing happens within the church, right? But it's also meant for the marketplace. God wants to restore broken aspects of the world that are around us. He wants to restore relationships that are broken. He wants to actually bring physical healing to different places. He wants to bring it into the hospitals. He wants to bring it wherever we're going. Teaching happens within the church, but it's also meant for the marketplace. You might be an anointed teacher. You might actually have that gift of teaching, but you're never called to the pulpit of a church. You might get to demonstrate God's love for people and how you teach them in whatever subject matter he has called you to be an expert in. He wants you to do it excellently. He wants you to care about the people that you are teaching. You may be the only time that they experience the love of God, and it can be any subject matter. But the way that you comport yourself, the way that you explain things, reveals God's heart for his people. It goes on and on and on. You might be a gift administrator that God has called to lead a program that's worth $1 billion. But he's called you to that because he wants to be assured that it's going to work to completion. It's going to be run efficiently, effectively. You might also be a gifted administrator that's called to a small business that would sink without your gift and graces there, because he cares about the economics of that, those families that are part of that, in the community that benefits from what that business gives and brings to the table. You might call to be a bus driver, sharing God's loves with kids who might never step across the threshold of a church. You might be the only brightness that happens in their day. You might be the only one that shows them that God values them by the way you smile at them and you encourage them. Whatever it is that he has called you to, wherever it is that he has deployed you to, God wants you to do it excellently. He's not asking for perfection. He wants you to do it excellently, to be who he's created you to be. We all have a ministry field. We all have a destiny in that ministry field. We want to see you launched into that, to be cognizant of what it is, to recognize what it is, to recognize the value of what it is, to see God's value in whatever that is. And it can be bigger than what you're expecting. As I'm closing today, we're going to share a video that we weren't able to share last week. It's for a movie that's coming up on Thursday, the 23rd. It has to do with human trafficking. So I'm going to let the parents of small children just know the content that's in here is, and even in this trailer, may not be suitable for them. So if you want a few minutes to have them usher out here, that's fine. I'll leave that to your discretion. We're sharing this video because this is something that has been deeply within the heart of several of our members, to see what God is going to do in bringing about healing in this area, bringing about reconciliation in this area. And as this has been coming up, we're actually looking to see, okay, Lord, what are you stirring within us as a people? So we want to see a hurting world heal. We want to see people launch into their destiny. What is it that you're stirring up here with this opportunity coming forward? So I want you to watch this trailer, and if you can, make it to this movie on Thursday. So let's roll it.
It's happening somewhere right now. In our nice little neighborhoods.
The United States of America is one of the largest consumers.
It's happening somewhere right now. In our nice little neighborhoods.
The United States of America is one of the largest consumers of human trafficking.
Our children are being used for the commercial sex trade in our nation by our citizens.
Those people who are buying are fueling the market. If they weren't buying, there wouldn't be a market, there wouldn't be the traffickers.
Most of commercial sex is underage kids.
The first time that I was ever sold, I was 12 years old.
I was 10 years old, and he told me if I didn't shut up, he would do the same thing to my little sister.
Every girl who gets trafficked, that's somebody's baby girl.
Most people don't know that boys are trafficked too.
We oftentimes turn a blind eye to the exploitation and the things that are happening right beneath our noses.
You have no idea what a sex trafficked victim's life is like.
I was shackled around the ankle, was bolted down to the floor.
He would lock me in a room, and there would be various men come in and do whatever it is that they wanted to do.
And they're telling me how much I have to sell myself for. All I was worth was my body.
I can't have children because of all the abuse and all the abortions I was made to have.
At the Planned Parenthood facility where I worked, I was having them sign these consent forms, sometimes for their 16th, 17th abortion procedure.
Where is God in all of this? And God immediately replies, where are you?
We are mandated by God, all of us, to be soldiers in this cause.
We're compelled by the scripture to rescue them from the hand of the wicked.
It takes a work of the Holy Spirit in their lives to restore them.
God used a 2-year-old little girl in my life to save my life.
Once I gave my life back to God, everything changed.
It was the name that stood out.
I am God's precious creation, and I can say that now because I'm on this side of freedom.
The forgiveness was so freeing, like nothing I can ever explain.
That's the whole purpose of redemption. That's the whole purpose of the cross.
So this Thursday, that's going to be airing here at RC Lexington at 7 p.m., and I would invite you to come to it. Because God's stirring something right now in America. He's stirring something in the church. What is our response going to be? I'd like us to at least become aware of what that is and see how he may be leading us to partner with those that are already in this, to bring the gifts that he has resident within us to help in our community, to help in our region. I don't know what he has fully planned in this, but he's stirring something, and so we're going to be pressing in towards this. Also, like Pastor Lanny said, in February, we're going to be pressing into a time of prayer and fasting. Over the future of our nation, certainly, but also we're going to be pressing in for the manifest presence of the Lord to increase here in our Father's house. We've been talking about that several times, but we are going to continue to press into him. His presence is what transforms things. His presence is what sets things free. He can move nations because of what takes place when his people are pursuing him and yielding to his leading, to his guiding, welcoming his grace in our community, in our state, in our nation. So we're going to be pressing into that. Next week, we'll have a sign-up calendar so you can sign up for days or periods of time that you'll be fasting, because it's a whole church fasting. Not everybody's going to fast 28 days. I'm not fasting 28 days. But somewhere in there, the Lord's going to be leading me to fast in different portions, and he's going to be leading you as well. Don't do something that's going to hurt yourself. We have different medical restrictions on all of us, but I do want to say, ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you want me to be fasting? How can I participate in what you're doing here? Because we're pressing into him. We're pressing into him. In fasting, we're surrendering the needs of our own selves to be focused upon him and say, Lord, we're here for you. We're listening. We're quieting these other things so that we can hear your voice. We want to see him move in our Father's house. We want to see him move in Southern Maryland. We want to see him move in this time, in this epoch. We're stewarding something. Let's do it excellently. All right? Will you stand? Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord, that you care about us. I thank you for that you care about the intricacies in our lives, and I thank you, Lord, that you have had a plan for each and every one of us since before you created anything. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask right now that you would open our hearts to hear what you are saying to us, Lord. It was rather loud. Father, I thank you for your grace. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, as you lead us and you guide us. We're coming with anticipation and expectation for what you have for us this year, Lord. Lord, let your presence abound here in our Father's house. Let your presence just press through our county, Lord. Let your presence press through our community. Lord, we want to see lives changed and transformed. We want to see people step away from the brokenness that they've been in, Lord Jesus. And we want to see their lives transformed as they grab onto you and you take hold of them and say, come with me. I've got plans for you. I've got a purpose for you. I've got things in mind for you that would blow your mind right now if I told you everything about them. But come walk with me and I'll reveal them to you. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, I ask for the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace to grow ever more among us, Lord. Lord, that we'd be willing to lay anything down that would get in the way of that. I thank you for your people. I thank you for what you're releasing here today. And Lord, I thank you for the children that we got to dedicate here today. Lord, they are a gift and a blessing to us right now, Lord, but they are a gift and a blessing to the world, Lord Jesus, as they grow and they mature and they walk in what you've called them to be. We thank you for your words, Lord, and we honor them today. We choose to honor you. Now bless these people as we go. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd welcome you to come to the front here. Otherwise, please be released to our lobby to fellowship with one another. If you have children downstairs, please go and pick them up. First-time guests, I'm going to be heading to the hospitality room. It's over by the front door. I'd love to meet you. So please don't go before I get over there. God bless you.